Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving grace of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord my God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord my God. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving grace of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Well, on this last Sunday in April, amazingly to say, we're on the brink of May. Wow, that's really great. 2017, so much going on, and into the song that we sang from Psalm 37, which I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe just the way my mind operates, but I'm always looking for multiple depths, if you will, or multiple ways of looking things. It occurred to me as we were singing, when we say, therefore the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Of course, that has more than one meaning in a sense that occurred to me there. Okay, my steps are ordered of the Lord. Lord, please order my steps, which anybody who's ever been in the military and had a drill instructor and marched in, you know, formation, and whether it be parade or anything like that, you know, your steps are ordered. You know, they're constantly saying stay in cadence or stay in step, you know. And of course, we learned early on how to, if you're out of step, how you kind of, you know, just kind of get back into step. There's a particular way of doing that. But also occurred to me as we were singing that song that the Lord puts in an order. The order that you're being given is your steps should be aright, that they should be ordered of the Lord. So where should I be walking? Where you want me to walk, Lord? And of course, as many people know, you go into somebody's bathroom, a Christian's bathroom, and so many have, and don't ask me why they put it there, right above the toilet. There'll be, you know, the thing about the footsteps and the sand, and we say, Lord, where were you all that time? You know, you only saw the one footsteps. Yeah, they were my footsteps, and I was carrying you, or whatever. Why people put that right by the toilet, I don't know, but I've seen that a lot of times. But think about what that really means to us, especially now, in all the stuff that we hear by news media, by the internet, and of course by hearsay, and, you know, by the drum roll, or, you know, the telegraph, or all the different means. When I say telegraph, like, you know, we used to say telegraph or tell a woman. I can't say that anymore because that's gender biased and I'll get into trouble, right? Like where I spoke yesterday at the end, I simply said, by the way, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And, you know, and if you don't think that's right, go ahead and sue me. Don't waste your time because I don't have any money anyway. So I don't mean to be gender biased like that when you say telegraph or tell a woman. There are some people who are busybodies, both men and women, that telling them something, they'll go and tell everybody and usually get it wrong in the first place. That's one of the reasons why our system of jurisprudence doesn't go according to hearsay, and that's not evidence, although let's just say if you're too lazy to do your own homework, you take everyone else's opinion, everyone else's advice, and it's not bad to take advice, but once again, where's the first place we should march ourselves up to? The first place we should be in order with our steps is at God's throne of grace and saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. And there was a fellow that prayed yesterday there at the State House in New Hampshire here, where I was speaking. He did say, I do recall him saying, Lord, we need to hear from you. And that's important. Of all the things that were said along the way that this man said, and he didn't pray in the name of Jesus, and afterwards I walked up and put my arm around him and I said, you know, you can pray in the name of Jesus and you really should. Now, how pedantic of me, how dare I, but I'm the Patriot pastor. I've been doing this on that very spot there for 26 years. I felt like I had the authority to put my arm around him and say, this is the first time I've seen you here, and you didn't pray in the name of Jesus. Please do. And he says, I didn't. I said, no, you didn't. He said, oh, well, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for reminding me that, you know, because that's part of my calling. Remind people, hey, we have freedom of speech and we have freedom of religion, and you exercise your freedoms, because if you don't, you lose them. So once again, to reiterate that point about letting the Lord order the steps we have, where we're walking, let it be his footsteps. Lord, where do you want me to walk? Where do you not want me to walk? And the older I get, the more important that is to me. Because that's kind of preacher language. I don't feel like I have a lot of time to waste. I don't think waste is a good thing anyway. We ought to send that message. We've been trying to send that message to all the government agencies. Hey, you don't have anything except what you take away from anyone else. You know, so stop wasting it. We don't appreciate that, right? Well, Holy Spirit, we're glad to be able to look into the Word of God today. It was a great joy and honor to be able to proclaim the Word of God from that platform in front of the state capitol in New Hampshire. One of the greatest joys of my life, honestly, and I pray that you will continue to order my steps that way, that I have those opportunities and continue to have the strength to do it. And so, Holy Spirit, now as we look into the Word of God, and yes, I call it the Holy Bible because it is holy. And no doubt about it that I desire to have your Word in my heart. Thy Word have I placed in my heart, that I would not sin against thee. Thank you, Lord, as we look into your Scriptures today. In your name, Jesus, the true King. Amen. Well, I want to look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 today. Yep. Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. As some people have like to call Isaiah, instead of saying Philippians, they call it Philippines. Mm-hmm. No, it's not the Philippines. Close. And here's an interesting factoid. I always like to give American factoids, you might say. Do you know there is only one capital of the world named after, of a foreign country, I should say, named after an American president?
Liberia's capital.
Good for you! Monrovia. Wow, I'm impressed, isn't you? Okay. Who can tell me what number of president James Monroe, who was a great hero, who actually fought in the Continental Army beside, went across the river and fought the Battle of Trenton.
There's a hint.
And was shot and wounded at that time, ended up on the ground. He was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. Right? He really is a great hero. Of course, Monroe Doctrine. And, of course, he was in Congress. He was also appointed by Thomas Jefferson, the head of the Virginia Militia. All a lot of stuff. And, of course, inherited his father's plantation very early in life, and his father died early. What number of president was he?
What war is this?
James Monroe.
Was he shot? What war is that?
That was for Revolutionary War you were talking about, right? You said across the Delaware, right?
So he was in the Revolutionary War.
18 years old when he was in the Revolutionary War.
That's right.
So I would say he was probably president 20 years after that. Roughly 20 years. 20, 25 years after
that.
Well,
if you just count along the way.
No, it'd be a little bit more. Maybe 30 years after that.
Okay. George Washington, John Adams, right? Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, the fifth president, there we go. We had to drag it out, but we got it. Okay, James Monroe, yeah. His birthday actually was on the 28th of April. So there's your American factoid for today.
Nice.
Always have to get that in. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, short chapter. We'll break it up in our reading with readers today. Okay. And so we have 30 verses. Seven times four is 28, if you do the math. And I'm going to reserve the right to read two more.
Okay.
So starting with Mrs. Lear, you read the first seven.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version.
I am reading from the International Version, Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 through 14.
Speak right up, please.
I am reading from Philippians 1, chapter 1, New International Version, verses 8 through 14.
Good.
God can testify how I long for all of you with an affection of Jesus Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now that I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they are all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. We're from Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14 in the New International Version.
Good job.
And continuing in the English Standard Version, verses 15 through 21. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21.
And I'm reading Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 22 from the King James translation. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict you saw in me, and now here is in me. Praise God for the reading of his word. I've just read from Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 22 through verse 30. There should be a number of portions of that scripture that jump out at you, so to speak. Probably one of the most prominent ones that is often repeated that you hear is verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Dying and going to heaven is not losing anything. It's gaining everything. Of course, in the issue of eternal life. In verse 6, which has also been set to song, and is often brought to our remembrance. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so you ask the question, okay, who is the one that has begun this good work? The Lord himself has begun the work in you, or in me, or in us. Okay. We also can find that in John chapter 6, verse 29. But the issue becomes here, he has begun a good work in you, he's begun a good work in me, and he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, just for convenience sake, if you will, the day of Jesus Christ is the end of time for us. So this is a process, and I would suggest from the day of your born-again experience, the day of your accepting Christ as Savior, the day of your salvation, this is a process that continues on. And I hope and pray for myself that I never have the day of saying, Lord, stop the process. Just like we were talking about ordering the steps, the Lord ordering the step. Lord, stop ordering my steps. Let me order my own steps. Lord, stop the process of changing me from glory to glory and making me a better person. Stop it. I don't want any more of that. And honestly, I'd have to say in my experience with many Christians over the years, they have long ago said, Lord, I've had enough. Stop. I'm glad to be a Christian, but I don't want to have to go through continual change. And I see this in many people's lives. I want to be, and personally this is my ambition, if you will, I want to be exactly what this Bible says I should be. And it doesn't happen by accident. It really doesn't. It is a process, and the Lord will help us with it. And of course, in the midst of all this, the Lord allows us to see a little picture of what the Apostle Paul went through. And of course, this is the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians, the church at Philippi. In verse 13, where he says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. What does that mean? And why are we talking about the palace guard? Okay, the people that were guarding the Apostle Paul in the Roman prison, it was obvious to them he was not in prison because he was a crook. He wasn't in prison because he had violated, you know, some moral law or ethical law or anything like that. He was there because his connection with Jesus Christ. And so for us too, that's a very valuable message. And people will say to me, for example, hey, Garrett, you staying out of trouble? No, I'm not staying out of trouble, but I'm getting into the right kind of trouble. You know, that's the whole issue. And so when we look at those verses throughout the whole chapter, and a number of things that we're reminded of, for example, in verse 25, and being confident of this, know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress. Okay, I'll just stop there for a moment. As he has said, it'd be far better for me if I die and go to heaven. Have you ever had a day that you thought that? I certainly have had days like that. And saying, Lord, get me out of here. We watched a movie called Greater. Fabulous movie. Fabulous movie. Christian message in there. And one of the things, of course, that came across is that the attitude that some had that dying and going to heaven was like a punishment. No, it isn't. And so sometimes we'd say, you know, get me out of here, Lord. And of course, they were singing in this numerous renditions, if you will, of the song, I'll Fly Away, which has always been one of my favorites. I've always liked the idea of being able to fly. Lord chose not for me to have wings to fly of my own, so I've always enjoyed flying on airplanes and so forth and so on. You know, and the song going, I'll Fly Away. And done in a rendition of an old cowboy style on guitar. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. And of course, some people could sing it this way. When I'm raptured, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Which basically was saying, Lord, please, get me out of here. Can you get me out of here, Lord? I've had enough. And the Apostle Paul expressing, we'll say, that the Holy Spirit allowing to come through him, we call that the amanuensis of the Holy Spirit, expressing this, I really want to get out of here. I'd be glad to go to heaven. The only thing is, that'd be good for me, but it wouldn't be so good for you. Now, what is it? Why? Just the same as a father or a grandfather, as I've often said too, I've got people that I love and care about that I'm going to stay here as long as the Lord will keep me here. I'm not going to do anything to advance myself to getting to heaven before the Lord wants it to happen, because there are people that I love, including my country that I love, and saying, I want to do all that I can as long as I can. And take note of the last part of that verse 25. With you all for your progress. What progress? Didn't we say a process here? That this chapter talks about the Lord has started a process in us, and he expects us to have progress, just the same as you don't go to school and stay in the first grade for the rest of time. If you're really paying attention, you're studying and doing the best that you can, each year you're going to graduate from one class to another class. It's a movement. We expect that. Just the same as like in the military. Who's in the military and says, well, I've spent 40 years in the military and I was a buck private all the way. That's not usually the way it goes. And most people would not want to stay where they are. And of course, the incentives, as you get promoted, you have more benefits, you have more pay, you have more rank, you have more to do. That's true. You know, so progress is what the Lord is expecting from us. And so if we want to set a theme here for today's message, if you will, we must have progress. We must have it, because that's the Lord's will for us. In the midst of the progress, also, one of the things that the Apostle Paul was expressing there in verse 25 and through this chapter is teaching us to have the joy of our faith. I don't want to be an old grumpy man. I don't want to be grumpy. I don't want to be old. As far as the man issue, I'm glad to be a man. I've never desired to be anything else. And not all men are really men. I mean, we're born male, female, and you know that's going to get you in trouble saying that these days. But it's true, biblically. But not everyone is necessarily a man. The Lord helps us to grow into being a man or being a real woman, a true man of God, a woman of God. But the thing is, in so many people's lives, there is no joy there. The joy of our faith. Having faith in Christ is a joyful experience. It sometimes there's suffering involved, that's true. And would you have joy being down in the bowels of the sewer system of Rome, being chained up? When this book of Scripture, this epistle of Scripture, was given to the Apostle Paul, as once again the amanuensis of the Holy Spirit, the secretary of the Holy Spirit, because, people will say, well, these are the words of Paul, the Apostle. Yes, you could say that, but where did those words come from? Because you can be absolutely sure if he was like somebody not under the influence of the Holy Spirit being given the words, he probably would have just been a grumpy old man. He wasn't that old, considering the circumstances he was in. But he knew that the Lord had started a good work in him, and that the Lord was continuing that good work. But in the progress that he was having, it wasn't drudgery. The joy of our faith. And as I said, even with certain difficulties I'm having to deal with at this juncture, this season of my life, it was pure joy, although I have to say I sort of agonized over it to a certain degree, as I always do when I'm going to speak publicly or in any situation. I'm always nervous about it, and I told Kathy as we were driving home, I feel relieved now. I did what I came to do, mission accomplished. I was relieved, I delivered the message, but I had great joy walking away from that, to have the opportunity and to have been able to say, I've done this here on this very spot, 26 years since I moved back to home here to New Hampshire. 26 years. In the cold, in the heat, in the wind, in the rain, 26 years. I've been out there in the snow. I've read the Bible, many chapters of the Bible every year out there, where sometimes my hands were so cold I could barely turn the pages. I've seen governors come and governors go. I've seen senators come and senators go. I've seen representatives come and representatives go. But the great joy of being able to do that, that's what the Lord wants us to remember. It is a progress. Don't stop the progress at any point in time. You say, stop! The way, for example, somebody that's a director of a movie, cut! When they say cut, does that mean the end of the movie? Okay, they stop. When they say cut, means stop filming and whatever they have to do right there, and then they say, okay, take two, take three, camera's rolling, whatever. Well, folks, the camera's rolling. We're meant to have progress. If you're not growing, it's not because the Lord doesn't want you to. You're not growing because of something you're doing that says, cut! No more progress. I've done enough. I've gone far enough. I'm not going to go all the way through school. I'll quit school when I'm, in the fifth grade. And by the way, we mentioned James Monroe. He was in the College of William and Mary, second oldest college in America, next to Harvard. He quit to join the Continental Army and go fight for his country and fight for liberty at 18 years old. This past Monday, we honored the Stark family in Manchester and then Dumbarton. Another great opportunity to be outdoors, and I love doing outdoor ministry. I really do. It's the only place where I don't bump my head. You know, in the open sky. And we honor two great American heroes, both native to New Hampshire, General John Stark and his son, Major Caleb Stark. Caleb Stark rode by horseback down to Medford, Massachusetts, to his father's headquarters to join his father in the 1st New Hampshire Brigade at Bunker Hill. At first, his father said, "What are you doing here?" And he was probably about 14, maybe 15 years old. And then his father said, "You shouldn't be here." And then he looked at him and he said, "Of course you're here. You're a Stark. You're the grandson of Archibald Stark. You're the son of John Stark. This is the way you were raised." So I told people in the park there, in Dumbarton, also Manchester, if you're looking for a hero, John and Caleb were great heroes then. A good example of heroes for today. We turn people into heroes that are sports stars and everything. Sports, gee, they really have a lot to give. You know.
Transgenders are being called heroes now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All kind of people.
Black men were our heroes.
That's true. That's a good point. People that aren't heroes at all. These men were willing to sacrifice life and everything precious, and that's why the state motto here in New Hampshire is live free or die, for death is not the greatest of evils. So we don't want to stop the progress. We want to continue on. We want to continue to grow. And always one of those aspects of, let's just say, some of the earmarks, the test case, the litmus case of whether we're really growing is whether we have the joy of our faith. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher today, reminding us we'll continue to study these things, not studying them to do a laboratory test on them, but study them so we can know them better as we get closer to you and closer to being what you want us to be, because certainly you have begun a good work in me and in us, and you will complete it if we don't get in the way. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen.